playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. Good morning and welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by Happy State Bank, alongside Jeff McGuire, once again filling in for Jeff Haxton today. I'm Choice Woodman, Lucas White, back behind the glass, handling us as usual. You, too, can join us. We'd love to have your thoughts, your comments, your questions, hopes, dreams, you know, just about anything. Welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. Lots to dive into on this Wednesday edition of the show. Got there's something that happened at the arena last night. Might get into that. College football, as we creep closer to a championship game. Man, it's a long break between 2 weeks. Is a long time off when you're used to bowl games like every single day for 2 or 3 weeks, and then 2 weeks until the national championship. Feels like that's a pretty extended stretch.
So are you saying you want some bowl games this week?
No, because I think they're too meaningless. If you play them after the college football playoff,
right,
they feel pretty empty, more empty than regular bowl games.
Right, because, you know, the others account for so much.
Right, so no, I don't.
Except for the Texas Bowl, because that's awesome.
I think you could play.
No one's going to call me on that, really? The Texas Bowl is the only one that was awesome?
No, we knew it was awesome.
I'm just saying.
With you.
All the others could go away. We had the Texas Bowl. We were fine.
Of course. I would not have liked the Texas Bowl being. I remember you played, what was the Ticket City Bowl on New Year's Day. Well, there's all these great bowl games going on
sure.
New Year's Day. You play like a 10 a.m. kickoff in cold weather at the Cotton Bowl, Ticket City Bowl against Northwestern, and people could not care any less about that game if you weren't a Red Raider or a Wildcat fan. So the placement of bowl games do matter. Of course, we'll get into...
I did find it hard to watch the Cotton Bowl without a Big 12 team in it.
Okay.
That was hard to watch.
That was maybe the most exciting.
It was the most, but like I couldn't like get drawn into it because I was like, there should be a Big 12 team here.
Yeah.
And there just wasn't. And I know why there wasn't. I get it. But that made it hard to watch. So that part of it I do miss.
That's no. Yeah. I get it.
But I then found something else to do. So, you know, it wasn't exactly the end of the world.
We'll talk some Dallas Cowboys today, as they are in true position to win the NFC East. We'll look at some odds on that, because two things have to happen: Cowboys win and a Eagles loss. And we'll talk Tech football, specifically a ESPN article that they have looked back to 2022, all 29 new coaches that were hired, and gave letter grades. So we'll give...
Okay.
Well, the one that matters the most to us and some others that...
I would imagine there's a couple of positive ones from the Big 12.
I would say, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty
predictable there.
The A one range on both of them, if I had to guess. I'd say that the Pac-12 had an A-plus out there.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other obvious A's that we were paying attention to that really jumped in. And those might be the three I'm thinking
of. You've got the main ones there, but we'll get to that. And then, of course, what happened at United Supermarkets Arena last night, Red Raiders falling short to the Kansas Jayhawks, moving to 0-2 in Big 12 play and snapping the 29-game winning streak at United Supermarkets Arena, barely, as it came down to a final possession for Texas Tech, trailing by one. And whistles were not heard. So that was no fun. Never fun to lose a basketball game in any way. Never fun to lose one in that way, for sure. Tough. You can't ever say it comes down to one call, one possession. But, man, that was one massive no call or I should say, like two massive no calls in the same possession.
I would say the first one much more egregious than the second.
The pulling Bacho down?
Yes. Yeah. Much more egregious.
Agreed. Because, I mean, Jalen Wilson basically has two hands around him. And, I mean, Wilson's falling down, but he pulls Bacho down with him, and it's free throws there that can tie or give you the go-ahead, and you never get the chance. It's rough, though. But I don't know. They let it go a lot of the night, so it was somewhat consistent with what they had done, because I think you had five first-half fouls called, maybe six total.
I think that's right.
There were
not many.
Very few fouls in the game, but at the same time, that was as much of a foul as you're going to find.
But if you, I mean, again, we can look at that last foul, the last two that weren't called, and be upset. But I am going to sit here today and be more upset on at least two, if not more, easy fast break buckets that you had that you couldn't convert the pass on.
You did.
I'm much more upset about your 3-point defense.
I would say you're more upset. You put yourself back in the position to win the game, and then you didn't get your chance.
During the earlier part of the game, though. I'm much more upset on your 3-point defense that felt like Kansas was banging threes all night long whenever they wanted to.
And a 3-point loss, you're going to be able to nitpick and point at every little thing. And
right. I'm more upset about those than those last two calls, than the last call. The second to last call was egregious that should have been called.
Yeah, you left things out there. No doubt. There were opportunities left there. It just feels like Texas Tech right now, and we'll dive deeper into it. Feels like Texas Tech is almost a really good team.
It's like they're missing a big piece of their offense and defense that has been gone all season long.
Well, and that's part of the problem is, yeah, you've got that guy sitting over there that you haven't been able to utilize at all. The problem was such a complete lack of depth right now.
Yeah.
When Kevin O'Banner has an off night afternoon in Fort Worth, it hurts your team bad. When Davion Harmon has an off night last night, it hurts your team really bad. So you almost have zero margin for error on the offensive end because of the lack of depth. But hopefully that big piece will be coming back within the next 10-ish days or so. But man, that was it just feels like you're sitting there on the lip of the cup and have been for the last couple of weeks or so, feeling like, okay, you've got some potential with this team. Are you going to reach that potential though?
Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier on the other station, on the other show. I am in no way, shape, or form saying this team isn't a tournament team yet. I'm not anywhere near that camp. I still think you're 85% to 90% chance of making the tournament. We're talking about the NCAA tournament here, not the NIT. I'll make sure I'm clear here.
Sure.
Now, that's also on the fact that I think you're going to get Fardos back in a couple of weeks and that you can get some of these games back at the end of the season that you may be losing now. However, take him out of the mix. Let's say he decides that he doesn't ever get healthy. Not that that's what's happening, but just throwing that out there, that's going to obviously change my opinion.
Tell us what you think. I'd love to have your thoughts, your reaction to what you saw last night. Anything and everything, welcome on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. We'll dive into some of that. And I got a few headlines for you, including a crazy game in the Big 12 elsewhere last night. That's next on 100.7 Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Stop for a few headlines. What you need to know, part of the End of the Bench. Hanging with you till noon today on 100.7 The Score. Alongside Jeff McGuire and for Hacks, I'm Troy Woodman. We'll start off with a few headlines and start off where we left off as the Red Raider basketball team falls short 75-72 last night at United Supermarkets Arena. Tough loss. I think it's pretty easy to say that. Tough loss to the number three team in the country. Just add it to another chapter in the book for the Kansas Jayhawks of tending to, find a way to win, however necessary, on the road. That's why they are one of the best, even if it is with a little help one way or another. But Kansas moves to 13-1, 2-0 in the conference. Texas Tech now 10-4, 0-2 in the conference. We see Kevin O'Banner, his best offensive night as a Red Raider, going for 26 points. It's some big threes down the stretch. Pop Isaacs, zero fear in that freshman who doesn't play like a freshman. 18 points for him, 4 3-pointers, three of those coming pretty early on, but only one other player in double figures for you, and that's Jalen Tyson with 10. Daniel Bacho, you could tell, just still wasn't there, not all the way.
Yeah.
He had 6 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks, so still making his presence known, but he just still is not right, and then exits very late with a finger injury. Which on TV, that looked terrible.
Gnarly would be the word I would use.
Yeah, so, I mean, his hand was just as red as it could be. But when he walked by after the game, in the handshake line, didn't look that bad. Didn't look bad at all. So hopefully it was just a popped out of place, pop it back into place.
That doesn't make me feel any better. Doesn't make me feel any better.
Man,
but
I'm
sure
you get the chills, just, like, full on.
It's the... I've had that problem once.
Uh-huh.
It hurt like hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was fine.
Did you pop it in or did someone else do it for
you? Somebody else did it for me.
Okay.
It hurt like hell.
Yeah.
But it went back in and I've been fine ever since. That doesn't mean I don't remember that it hurt like hell.
Sort of the hand, you look at it and then one finger's pointing sideways.
Yeah, it was the wrong way. yeah, it's not a fun feeling. It's the same concept as getting kicked in the southern region or getting popped in the southern region. You're like, ow. Because we've all felt it. Every guy out there knows immediately what I'm talking about. That excruciating pain and then the bliss of when it's finally just goes away for a moment and you're like, okay, I can finally breathe again.
And
that's where that is. That doesn't mean that every time I watch a movie and somebody gets kicked there that I'm not also going, ow.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Everybody does.
I'm just saying.
So, Red Raiders. Mm. Fall short last night, 75-72. Next game will be coming up on Saturday evening against the Oklahoma Sooners. Haven't had a more must-win game around here than that one in a while because you got 2 road games on the other side of that against tournament-caliber teams. You've got to win this one or it's truly a holy cow, you could start 0-5. So... Saturday against OU, you got to get it. It's just and protecting home court is...
I mean, I get what you're saying. I do.
I don't think I've said anything more accurate in 2023, Jeff.
You short year. There's
this game. I know.
But if you do start 0-5, there's still 13 games left.
There are. But, man, it is
it gets
as
hard.
Uphill of a climb as you would have you could face.
I also think that this team could do those kind of things once you get your full roster. I'm not guaranteeing a 13-5 year. Let me make this very clear.
You can't start 0-5, though.
But you're right. Starting 0-5 would hurt a lot.
Yeah.
No argument.
And I'm not saying you won't win one of those other two, but you got to win the home game against one of the bottom teams. I mean,
yes.
You and I both put them...
In that bottom tier.
Yeah, in the bottom tier.
Outside looking in on the NCAA tournament.
So,
yeah
it's a team you got to beat on Saturday. A lot of pressure on that game. But Red Raiders and Sooners. Then, before that... How about tonight, Lady Raider basketball against the same Kansas Jayhawks, but up in Lawrence tonight. Be a 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 coverage start time. Fink and Chuck will be on the call from Lawrence on 107.7 Yes FM, and then at 7 o'clock as well here on 100.7 The Score. We got high school fan zone coverage for you tonight as well. Coaches from Lubbock High, Friendship, and Lubbock Cooper will join Clint Scott here in the First United Bank.
Yeah, I'm not
studio.
Mentioning his name today.
That's probably a good idea.
That man does not exist to me today.
The dude had the gall to message me last night after the game.
That's okay. Somebody messaged me last night after the game, too.
I don't know who you're talking about. I forgot to bring my nunchucks to work. I told him I was going to bring nunchucks to make sure he was at least out of... That length of distance.
At that distance?
I don't have nunchucks, but I think my middle son does. He's
we
for a little bit.
We can do the Jackie Chan, not Jackie Chan. Who that? The I can see his face. The not Bill Murray.
Okay, Jackie Chan and Bill Murray are very different looking.
Hang on.
Those are two. I'm not a movie
Coming
guy
to America. Lead actor. Why can't I think of his name?
Lead actor
in Coming to America.
Like Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, thank you. I was stuck on the M. I couldn't get around it.
Jackie Chan, Bill Murray, and Eddie Murphy.
At first I thought it was Jackie. Hang on. It was, I'm thinking of Jackie Chan doing this type of thing, and I don't know that he did. But the taking the handle out of the mop that he does in Coming to America in the McDowell's and takes out the robber, that's what we need to do a choice today. I mean, not choice today, with Clint today.
Yeah, don't do it.
Choice
to me.
Is fine. Choice didn't do anything wrong. We take out the mop handle and beat Clint with it.
Okay.
That's because it's here. It's down the hall. We just have to go get it.
All fair. I mean, Chuck was at least smart enough to run and hide to Lawrence this morning.
Yeah, so. Good place for him to go hide, yeah. Kansas fan.
But this.
In fairness, he had to leave before the game last night. So
he did.
He didn't know the outcome.
Didn't hang around for. Like before he left. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He knew the outcome this morning.
I was about to say, yeah.
Obviously.
I'm pretty sure he was watching that game. Other headlines for you. A wild and woolly one in Austin
high school football?
Last night. No high school football in this
one.
You
got me all excited with the wild and woolly.
Wild and woolly one in Austin last night. As Kansas State rolls past Texas 116-103 in regulation. 116-103 for a Big 12 record 219 points. The third most ever scored in a Big 12 game, but the most ever scored in a regulation game.
Yes.
So pretty.
Like multiple overtimes to beat this score.
Yeah, 199 was the highest point total before this in regulation. Texas beat Colorado back in 02, 104-95. This beat it by 20 points. I guess Mr. Beard being out has the defense went with him because you look at Texas's scores. There's a ton more offense. I mean, just faster-paced offensive games since they've been there. And all of a sudden, Kansas State goes on the road where they're 8.5-point underdogs, wins in Austin. They're 13-1. So might need to rethink. I think you had them in your
I
had them in the
Second tier.
Okay, I had them
in the
third
teams
tier.
That will be the – I don't think they're going to win the Big 12, but they're going to have a say in who does.
Yeah.
Like, it's you're going to have to beat them, have the best record against them in order to win the Big 12.
Marquise Noel, guy I hadn't heard of before last night, scored 36 points to lead the way for K-State. So, watch out for the Kitty Cats up in Manhattan. That was a surprising score to see in that one. Thank you. Well done. And
oh, was that the Kitty Cat?
That was the Kitty Cat.
Okay. I was confused for a moment. My apologies.
Hex doing the kitty cat. Yeah.
Okay. I'm now caught up.
You okay with that?
I'm good. I thought we would do the. Well, I guess he's not there anymore, so we can't do the coach complaining on the sidelines from Chuck.
Oh, yeah. And then Iowa State, Oklahoma play tonight at 6 o'clock. Iowa State now ranked number 25. OU a 3-point favorite in that one. Home teams in the Big 12. Just. You know, they're supposed to get the calls, so that's they usually are favored. Baylor is 6-point favorite at home against TCU tonight, number 17 versus number 19 in that one. And the Washington Commanders announced they will start Taylor Heinicke on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll talk some Cowboys. As interested to get Jeff's take on what he expects. As a lifelong Cowboys fan. And
not lifelong, but a long-time Cowboys
fan. Okay, long-time Cowboys fan. Post-Oilers Cowboys fan. See if it lines up with...
everybody else.
You know, my disgruntled fandom as well. It's the end of the bench. Plenty of your thoughts rolling in on the chat line. We'll dive into some of that coming up next, as well as take a look at the calendar on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
To our number two, it's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Alongside Jeff McGuire filling in for Jeff Haxton. Lucas White across the way taking care of us. I'm Choice Woodman. Thanks for hanging with us, choosing to hang with us on this Wednesday morning. Unfortunately, a morning after your first loss at United Supermarkets Arena for Texas Tech basketball since the
February 9th, 2021.
Thank you. I saw the date earlier, and then I...
Like Chris Beard sitting on the floor game.
That's right. Thank you. Chris Beard sitting on the floor and rolling around like a toddler.
So, that was a blown call.
Oh, it was a blown call too, but also...
That was a...
it was a moment. We'll say that. It was definitely...
There were a couple of temper tantrums that game. That just happened to be the one we all remember the most.
That one was very interesting. So... we'll get back to
But
Tech
he was
Coach.
Our guy then, so it was okay.
Sure.
Oh, come on. We all laughed at it.
Laughed, yeah, but endorsed not so much.
No, none of us endorsed it.
Not so much. Plenty of other little nuggets, tidbits to get to here in the second hour, including how to properly dispose of your tree. Christmas tree.
Has that been a problem again?
No, but okay. This is a new way.
A new way?
Think vegetarian. So
I'm not eating a plastic tree. No.
No, this is this is if you have a real tree. Good news in the Joey McGuire family. We'll get to that as well. Not Joey McGuire himself, but in the family. A question about Mike Leach on the chat line from earlier as well. But a few more thoughts from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll move on from basketball for the moment. Steven says, Kansas players were literally leaning on Bacho, especially the big white dude, is cheating the only way they can win. Someone says, what was the deal with Kerwin Walton coming in late in the game and shooting an air ball? I think he was specifically brought in that moment to shoot a three-pointer, and he just missed it badly. I mean, that's Walton's specialty. In his defense, I think he made four of his previous seven.
Mm-hmm.
Going into last night, he was starting to get hotter, but just missed it. He's a three-point guy. I think he stays off the floor because he doesn't play great defense. So it was just one of those. There is swallowing the whistle. Then there's turning a blind eye to football-like tackles taking place right in front of them. Someone else says, I noticed last night where Coach Adams usually spends a moment conversing with the opposing coach in the handshake line. Last night, the handshake was very brief with only one quick comment to self. I think Adams was unhappy with the officiating like a lot of the rest of us. Yeah, Adams is one that does talk a lot with other coaches. He knows everybody from everywhere because of junior college days, and mm-hmm. there's been plenty of high major coaches that have recruited his programs in the past.
Do you take anything from a short conversation there?
No, I think reading the lips, I think Bill Self literally says, tough one, Mark. I think that's what he said. And Mark was still upset over the finish. So no, I don't think there's anything to that. There's moments where you finish a game and you know you've lost. You've had like 5 or 6 minutes to cope with it on the
sideline.
Yeah,
we already know that this game's going, right?
He had a minute to deal with it before heading to the handshake line. So, tough finish. Not an easy one to swallow. So, no, and I take nothing away from that. I think he and Bill Self are completely fine with
each other. As slimy of a basketball coach as Bill Self is,
mm-hmm.
I generally don't find him to be a bad guy. I mean, he's a basketball coach. There's a level that he can't achieve above.
No.
But I don't think he's like one of the guys that if he was recruiting my player or my guy, my kid or whatever, I don't feel like I'd be getting snow-jobbed. Does that make sense? Like, I generally find him to be a genuine guy.
I'm a little uncomfortable with whatever. What is snow-jobbed? Should I ask that?
Getting completely blown over and like telling you what you want to hear.
I'm scared to look this up on the
No, this one's safe.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, no, this one's safe.
You sure?
Yeah.
Sounds like something else. So maybe that's
it does, but no. Like just completely getting not whitewashed.
Okay, so I'm going to not going to the Urban Dictionary.
No,
definition.
Just go to the dictionary.
The actual definition in the dictionary: an intensive effort at persuasion or deception.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I've never heard that.
Oh, I'm not sure. I've heard it probably my entire life, but I don't know how prominent it is. My dad also has some others, like, I'm going to go crawl into the bunny basket, and I know my dad's the only one that says that.
El Jefe says, this is a family
comment.
It is a
family comment. It's a family I don't feel like...
It was new to me, so
sure.
I'm a young pup at times. Someone here says, Jeff, stop. That's a stupid thing to say. Tech came back, so you're going to penalize them for that.
I'm not blaming the officials for the loss.
No, but they're a big part of it.
I don't even think they're a big part.
Why?
I was not happy with your three-point defense. I was not happy with your rebounding. I was not happy with some of your shot selection. I was not happy with...
So you
were
expecting a perfect game last
I
night.
I wasn't expecting...
This is what it sounds like.
I did not see three-point... Now, we have had a problem with three-point defense in Lubbock for quite some time.
Sure. That's been the weakness for the most part in the Mark Adams.
Yes. I thought it was not the worst we've seen in a while. It doesn't compare to some of the Oklahoma State games that you've had.
I will say, DeJuan Harris had a ton of open threes, but that was also the game plan going in. DeJuan Harris is not a three-point shooter, and he went 5 for 5
yes, he
last
did.
Night. So there was a concerted effort to, hey, we're going to let this guy shoot it, and then it was like, well, crap, that backfired.
Right.
Thing. So there was three-point problems or problems on the perimeter because they were making shots. Jalen Wilson is the best player in the Big 12 for a reason.
He's going to get his.
He knocked down shots over hands all night long, though he scored 1 point in the second half, so you made good adjustments there. I don't know. I can't get behind that.
That's also how you came back from being down 7 at halftime and made it an interesting game at a lot of points before you were down 10 again.
I don't know. I'm not blaming the officials exclusively, but they had a big say in the game. There's no question, because you would have had a pair of free throws coming up, or at least I guess it would have been 1-1 at that point. You'd have had a chance at 1-1 free throws at the line with about 12-ish seconds left to tie and or take the lead. So it's you can't say that doesn't have an effect on the game. You can't say that that's not a
I don't
part.
Know that it had more of an effect on the game than everything else I'm bringing up.
No, but of course it doesn't, because isolating one incident.
I'm focusing on the bigger problems.
But it's one incident. You're like, you know that was the number three team in the country yesterday,
I do know
right?
That was the number three
team
sure in the country.
Are you sure you know that? Because it does sound like you were expecting a perfect game.
Wasn't expecting a perfect game, but there was a lot that you can take from that game that you did not do as well as you've done against not similar competition, but better competition than others this year. I'm throwing out the games that you won, scored 100 points, okay? But when you faced better teams this year, you've played better defense than you did yesterday.
A few more of your thoughts from the chat line. We'll get to some of those. Got some highs and lows. Sans Jeff Haxton coming up next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your hump day. About 30 more minutes with you. Left here with the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score.
All of a sudden, you said the coffee attack. I'm sorry.
107thescore.com.
The timing of that could not have been worse. I'm sorry. I don't have anything to drink. Like,
I know.
It would have caused it.
He talked to me during the whole break, and then...
It wasn't the whole break.
Well, I mean, we're talking, and then as soon as the mics are turned on, then the coughing fit. That's how it works, though.
Golly.
You go get a drink. You're good.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see how this goes.
That's Jeff McGuire, Choice Woodman.
Wow.
We already got one Jeff sick. We don't need another one.
This isn't sick, I don't think.
You don't think. That's how it starts.
That's how it does start.
Happy birthday to our guy, Bullfighter, and Garrett Luft, and Clark Lambert. Who else am I missing?
Davis Martin.
January 4th, big birthday day. All right.
You think their parents are upset that they weren't born 4 days earlier?
Their
to get
parents?
The tax break, yeah. Because you get the if they're
break.
If you're born on the 30, if you are alive on December 31st,
you still get the tax break the following year.
Yeah, but you got to wait a whole. It's an extra bonus tax break then, because yeah, then you had a kid the year,
I guess so.
Even though it was for, like, you know, could have been 10
and
minutes.
And the tax break would probably be, like, a lot closer to the doctor bills. So, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe some of that.
I have to ask Mr. Left, Garrett's dad.
Yeah.
He'd be the one to have that answer.
Probably so.
I'll forget before we get to the next football season, though.
There's a good chance of that. Got plenty of your questions in already for Ask the Benchwarmers. That's about
wide variety today.
Yeah, lots in so far, and you've got plenty of room there. About 15 minutes from now, we'll get to Ask the Benchwarmers. This first, Jeff, is there were 29 new coaches hired in college football this year.
Okay.
Well, between the end of last season. Technically, we've had Joey McGuire on campus more than a year.
Sheesh, we don't need to tell you
that. He got hired in
November.
November of last year. But, so I got all the grades. No A pluses were handed out, which makes no sense to me.
How?
I don't know. I don't know how Sonny Dykes in year one going to the college football playoff and playing for a national championship doesn't end up being an A plus.
Maybe because of previous coaching experience? Like,
so they also have their great, so they've done this three separate times. And they being Adam Rittenberg, ESPN writer. Three separate times they've done a grade when hired, mid-season grade.
Okay.
And now the postseason grade. So Sonny Dykes was an A-minus when hired, an A in mid-season, and still an A. I don't know if you have to win a national championship to get an A or what, but some other ones that you probably know.
That's the stupidest. Like,
how is he not? Yeah. Jerry Kill at New Mexico State.
They're undefeated in...
I'm with you. I completely agree.
Flabbergasted.
Jerry Kill at New Mexico State got an A. His midseason grade was a C-minus, but New Mexico State went from 2-10 last year to 7-6 this year. And winning football
that's
at New Mexico State...
That's a jump.
Yeah, that's somewhat regional.
Again, though, not undefeated in the national championship game, but... What do we know?
So all of the A's are Sonny Dykes, John Summerall, who's at Troy.
Kalen
DeBaere, who's at Washington. Jim Mora at UConn, who took him from 1-11 to 6-7 this year.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive there. Mike Elko at Duke, went from a 3-9 year to a 9-4 year this year.
That's A-plus territory.
Pretty solid there. Jerry Kill and Jeff Tedford at Fresno State. That one,
that's all their A's.
They went 10-4 this year, but Fresno State went 10-3 last year too. So that's all the A's.
Didn't rock the apple cart. That's okay.
There were some A minuses though.
Oh, okay. When I said all the A's, I thought those included all
those. Were all, okay. Only two A minuses.
Okay.
You know both the names.
I know both the names.
Yeah.
We discussed them already.
Both today. Yeah.
Okay.
So one.
I'm okay with Joey McGuire being an A-minus.
Joey McGuire
okay
is
with,
one of them.
Lincoln Riley being an A-minus.
Both of those are A-minuses.
They're both A's. In the grade book, it's still a 4.0.
USC went from 4-8 last year to an 11-3 record.
Seems a lot low for that, but it also is a USC, so it's kind of like turning Texas around. You're supposed to.
Grade when hired was an A. Midseason grade, an A. They went to an A-minus.
How do you lose points after winning games? I guess they lost the bowl game.
And they didn't get to the... They lost... Going to what they could have been in the college football playoff.
But they lost going into it. So I guess that's fair.
Joey McGuire is an A-. They gave him a B. Rittenberg gave him a B when hired, a B-plus at midseason. And so each spot he boosted up to an A-. What he says is Texas Tech wanted a coach who could connect better with its base and the state and got one with McGuire. But after he pushed all the right buttons during the offseason, there were still questions on how the longtime high school coach would perform. Had a Power 5 program, delivered, yada, yada. Talks about the bowl game, and then it talks about the contract extension, which we really haven't talked about a lot because it was the same day as the bowl game.
As the bowl game.
And but you got a six-year, $26.6 million contract, which essentially was
It's a one-year contract extension.
One-year extension and $1 million a year raise.
Right. Total.
So, yeah. Yeah, but $1 million per year on average raise. So... It's not a massive contract.
Yeah, this is,
and it takes him from being what was one of the lowest paid Power 5 coaches to more middle of the pack.
Yeah, this is
so it's not like a crazy, Holy cow, you just
this isn't the Cliff Kingsbury contract.
Lane Kiffin $9 million a year to lose the last four games.
And
this
wasn't the this isn't the Cliff Kingsbury contract after that first year.
Yeah.
And he'd never been a coach and got I think they added years to that deal too. Like it wasn't just making it another 6 year deal, it was adding time to his current deal as well. Sure. This one's different.
So Joey sits at an A-.
Okay.
Which I
hard to build an outrage factory for that.
Yep. Some other big names, Dan Lanning at Oregon's a B+, Brian Kelly at LSU's a B+.
Nah, it feels about right.
When hired, they had him at an A-. Some others, Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, B-, which they had a rough start to the season, ended up doing okay. The midseason grade on him was the D+.
This is just E1, so it wouldn't have Sonny or...
Cumbie, this is everybody.
I guess he is D1. Where's Sonny Cumbie at? Does it mention him?
We're getting there. It's not great. Brent Venables at OU.
How is that anything other than a C at best?
D+.
Okay, good. Good.
Grade when hired, B+. Midseason grade, D+. Still D+. 6-7 season. First time OU's
had a losing season
since 98.
Forever.
98. Billy Napier at Florida, D+. Sonny Cumbie at Louisiana Tech is a D, flat D.
Okay. They didn't have a great season.
Louisiana Tech's record in 2021, 3-9. 2022 record, 3-9.
Yeah.
So, grade when hired was a B+, dropped down to a D. Sonny Cumbie didn't have a great season this year, but hopefully can figure things out.
We're not giving up on Sonny yet.
No. Mm-mm. No one got an F, though.
Nobody got an F.
Lowest on there is Don Brown at UMass with a D-. But he took a 1-11 team and made them 1-11 again.
Hey, you know that they didn't lose ground.
They didn't lose ground.
What about, I guess he's definitely not Division
Someone asked,
one.
How is the Kansas coach not an A+?
Year two.
Yep. You do to me?
I don't know. It's something. All of a sudden, it's Jackson. He fluffed his hair and there's like things everywhere now. That's what it is. We're going to blame him.
Hair particles.
ACU's Division II, right?
FCS.
FCS.
What did you do to me?
I don't know.
What's in the air
I don't know
here?
What happened to me. Just for reference, Coach Patterson. Pulling up their schedule now to see what they finished. 7-4. So, shout out to Coach Patterson down there at Abilene Christian. I don't know. I guess I could figure out what they were the year before.
Yeah, they did all right.
7-4 this year. Not too shabby, as the Hanukkah song would say. 5-6 the year before. So, that's a nice little two-game improvement.
I think I can talk in a moment.
You think you can talk in a moment? Okay, so we'll just keep going
No,
here.
I had the tickle in the throat, and I think I swallowed water down the wrong pipe.
Oh, down the wrong
pipe. So I'm all sorts of jacked up right now.
So maybe I don't need...
Where's the break?
It's 5 seconds.
There it is. Okay, so ask the Benchwarmers. Got your questions in right now.
Are we going to make it to the end of the show?
We're going
to
try.
We'll have to find out.
Don't know what is in the air here, but we'll get some of your... questions, a few more comments on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line as well. Tech basketball questions, motorcycle questions, Bible name questions. There is a lot so far on the chat line. So keep getting yours in. We'll get some of that coming up next. It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Time for Ask the Benchwarmers. I think we're all here. It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com.
Are you better? I think I'm better.
I hadn't done that in forever, and then you did it.
Waiting for Jackson over there.
I know yawning is contagious.
Didn't know coughing is.
Yeah, like this isn't even like a sickness cough. That's Jeff McGuire. I'm Choice Woodman. Jackson Frazier across the way. Questions for any and all of us are welcome. Let's go ahead and start with one for Jeff.
Okay.
It's from Clay earlier. Jeff, what's the craziest, scariest thing that's happened to you while riding your motorcycle?
Craziest and scariest are two different answers. Okay. The scariest is when I got run off the road on my way into work one morning.
I do remember that morning.
Because there was nothing I could do about that.
Jamie was like almost mad at you.
Right.
Just because you're riding the motorcycle.
Sure.
Like, Jeff, you're going to kill yourself, kid.
I wasn't the one that was going to kill myself. And that was coming up 84 when I lived in Slayton. That got run off the road and into the grass. And just about when I had control of it to get back up on the road, I hit a rut and the front wheel went left and I went up over the handlebars and frame damage and all that kind of fun stuff. I missed that bike. It was a fun bike. And I wasn't even speeding. That person ran me off the road. I had no idea it was there. The craziest thing, oddly enough, I was on my way to Houston on a road trip and I was taking some back roads because it was shorter and I was looking for ways to shorten that trip from Dallas to Houston to get where my sister lived, and ran across a flock of turkeys. Okay. That were in the middle of the road. Weren't moving. I wasn't big enough to scare them on the motorcycle.
Did you lay the bike down?
Didn't lay the bike down. But it was definitely a slow down. Basically, I could have plucked feathers off of these turkeys before they finally moved.
That's fun.
I was a little nervous I wasn't getting past turkeys.
I do wonder, like, because I've...
Grasshoppers hurt at 75 miles an hour.
I'm not a motorcycle rider ever. I've always wondered, like, what do you do when you're driving and you just, hit an animal?
I have been fortunate that turkey, excluding the turkey situation, is as close as I've come.
Because in the vehicles, I've never hit a deer, fortunately. Yeah. Gotten close a couple of times. Almost hit an antelope one time around Dumas. I have, but there's been plenty of times where I've run over just a coyote or
mm-hmm.
I ran over a hog. That was a big bump.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty bad on a motorcycle.
I have seen guys get taken out by a deer.
Yeah.
And it's...
Would not be good.
The closest way I can describe it, like when you're in an accident, when you drive a truck and you hit a car, the truck wins the accident no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
In the motorcycle versus deer, it's a push. Like that's...
Yeah.
It's a push. There's not really a winner.
They're the
there.
Same size.
Yeah. And not necessarily going different speeds either, depending on... Because you see the deer and you immediately slam on the brakes, so you're slowing down and he's not.
Shelly says, any update on Daniel Bacho's hand? No official updates.
We probably won't get one until Thursday.
I'll tell you, just from what I could see with my own two eyes yesterday, didn't look near as bad as it initially did, but that doesn't mean it's not broken or anything like that. But I, on TV, looked terrible. This is a pure guess. We'll probably get some sort of update on Thursday, but... Pure guess that he had a dislocated finger popped back into place. You could tell the pain. And then AMAC, if you saw AMAC's reaction to it, he was.
He and I have a similar reaction. Out. Just, okay, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, he's like,
over here now.
He was pretty torqued up. Benchwarmers, what's the worst Bible name from the Bible you could name a kid?
Your daughter, Abel.
Your daughter, Abel? Abel. There's some weird names out there.
There are a lot of weird names.
Nimrod.
Oh, no, he's a World War II spy.
It'd be pretty bad. Nimrod.
I think the chat line got it right.
Sure.
I didn't even see that.
Satan.
Okay.
Is a name from the Bible, so.
Satan would be a really bad name. Lucifer.
Moses would be weird. But I would also have...
I knew a Moses growing up.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was his name Amos Moses?
No, his name was Moses. Moses was in my class in second grade. Moses, I knew, of course, I mean, I grew up in Dumas. We had plenty of Jesus's. We had plenty of...
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Satan or Lucifer would be the worst names you could name a kid. I know you're a big fan of the show, Lucifer.
It was a fun show. A definite different take.
Do you think you guys think Vegas knows the refs won't call a foul on Kansas at the end of the game? That's why they put the line where it was. Shame we lost a home winning streak like that. Vegas is very aware of what Kansas is, that they get calls on the road. Sure. Serious question. Do y'all think Fardaws will come back in the next 2 weeks and actually make a real difference?
Yes.
There's a meshing point that'll,
sure,
that'll be in there. My guess is that there'll be a pitch count, so to speak, a minutes count on Fardaws when he comes back immediately, whether that's 15, 20 minutes a game. So real impact, sure, because you don't have anybody. I mean, KJ Allen's doing mm-hmm. some nice things for you right now.
But it's different.
But it's different than Daniel Bacho. You don't have anybody that is similar to Daniel Bacho's after Daniel Bacho. So, and you, and big men are not designed to play 40 minutes a game.
I know that for him, it wouldn't necessarily mean anything yet because he hasn't even played for the Red Raiders at all. My guess is his first game is against Texas on the 15th. That's my guess. Like, he'll get cleared on the 14th.
I don't think they play on the 15th.
Is it 15th or 16th?
I think it's
16th. But my guess that's the first game he'll play.
Okay.
That he'll be cleared like the day before, and he'll be practicing with the team at that point, and it'll be very similar to what you're talking about.
Maybe 15th. I don't know. I don't want to correct. But yeah, I agree. It's going to be in that range. Because I mean, I'm watching him. Everybody's watching him warm up last night, and he's rolling around in Crocs or some sort of Croc type of
flippity
shoes,
floppity things,
whatever those are, and shooting three pointers from long ways away, kind of leaning on both feet. He looks comfortable. Now, game shape's a whole nother thing, as Grandpa was said. But yeah, I think he's going to be back sooner rather than later, and I do think he's an impact player. 14th, thank you. 14th, isn't that Martin Luther King Jr.? Is that a Monday game?
Saturday. January 14th, 7 p.m. at Texas.
That's a Saturday? At Texas.
At Texas, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's like we play them on a weekday.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the at Texas game. Yeah. I'm talking about that game.
Thank you. That's next weekend, yes. Bacho's hand looked bad. AMAC's reaction may have been worse. Looked like he dislocated a finger, put it back in place, but you never put ice on it. Yet he never put ice on it, went through the handshake line. He did have ice on it, but he had the ice wrapped in a towel, so you couldn't really tell. Benchwarmers, what's your favorite Texas Tech football helmet? I like the classic, like this.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that one.
The black with the double T.
I don't know that I have an ultimate favorite, because I like the white one too when you're wearing the white uniforms. I love the all-white look.
I think the black goes the best with everything, if you're saying like
the white, like universal
the white
uniform.
Looks good. Yeah,
universal. Yeah, sure.
The black's the most universal fit. Obviously, I like both double T's. I know that's not the most popular answer, beveled or flat. I like the mixing it up. I really, really like the white helmet. I don't think we've seen this in a couple of years. The white helmet, the old school double T with the two stars on it.
That's okay.
The only Rivera era.
The only one I don't like is the red helmet. I don't like the red helmet at all.
I would like an alternate double T if you're going to do the red helmet.
I don't like the red helmet at all.
So, like, I would like a red helmet, a flat, not shiny red helmet, with a black old school double T. That's where I would like it, but
I'd have to see it. But generally, action. I'd give me a black or a white helmet. Black, red,
no
white.
Gray. You got the gray out of the mix. What about the never quit uniforms with all the stuff going
keep
on those
blue out
helmets.
Every uniform, please. Yeah. That's all I ask.
Jeff, appreciate you filling again.
Yeah, sure.
That is it for us. Mr. Jayhawk and Mr. Official coming up next. Should be a fun one with the bottom line.
Hmm.
Who wins out?
The thought that's going to fester.
For Jeff and Jackson, I'm Choice. It's been the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.